This is not going to happen. I mean, it's just, it's a mess. It's a complete mess. Well, it's been a mess for decades and decades and decades, but it's gotten a little bit better in recent years. All my sources there, I have many friends who are Guatemalan citizens. We support organizations down there. But the idea that it's recent violence that has caused this, and people are fleeing recent violence, there's always been violence in Central America. Yes. And it's gotten, if anything, a little bit better over the last, like, 7 or 8 years. That's what my friend Carol said. And she's one of the top, top Guatemalan
government tell the story. It's not about violence.
Okay, good.
It's about economic and education.
No
job prospects, no education to speak of. But the interesting thing that after we got the briefing from the Guatemalan government, we heard from our government folks, off this side, that it was only 2 weeks ago when they decided they were going to start addressing the issue of the returning citizens. And before that, it was really, they didn't really care. So if you want to leave.
Congressman, when you say returning citizens, it's very confusing. You're saying citizens going back to Central America? What returning citizens?
If the United States or Mexico returns them, they have to set up a transition system.
I don't care about any of that. I care about what's happening. I don't care how they're returning them. I mean, I care about them going back to their family, going back and fixing their own. All that's confusing. We need people here focused on the American border, how it's affecting American communities, Michigan, Oklahoma, Texas, California, Massachusetts, beyond the scope. I mean, the idea that we're going to fix the Central American problem, we can fix our own problem and say, you don't do the right thing here, you're done. We're cutting off your aid.
Right.
They'll start listening really quick. Congressman, we're out of time. We really appreciate it. Kerry Benevolio, former sergeant, U.S. Army, Vietnam, Iraq. He's under huge pressure in his own state from the Chamber of Commerce being outspent 20-1. We'll link his website up on lauraingram.com. So people, you want to support this man and actually fighting against this amnesty, you can do it in your own way. Don't go away.
The immigration controversy had come to Massachusetts. Several planes carrying undocumented immigrants touching down right here in the Commonwealth. Some are being allowed to stay in the state pending asylum claims. We're learning that at least one local city is feeling the squeeze from the influx of illegal immigrants that's happening nationwide. And their numbers are truly stunning.
This is one of the few really honest reports out there in the state of Massachusetts about how the illegal immigrant influx has affected the people of Massachusetts. Now, Massachusetts, as you know, my family hails from Massachusetts. My family lives there. A lot of affection for the people of Massachusetts. In a lot of these towns, places like Lynn, Massachusetts, having a real tough time. Lynn has an enormous problem with unemployment. It's a fairly poor community. And so it's perfect to just drop off a lot of these illegal aliens, which is what's happened not over the past few months, but over the past few years. Mayor Judith Flanagan Kennedy.
We have been aware of the unaccompanied children issue for quite a while, but now it's gotten to the point where our school system is overwhelmed. Our health department is overwhelmed. The city's budget is being substantially altered.
Substantially altered. That's a bureaucratic way of saying destroyed. And Lynn, Massachusetts really has not a penny to spare. Already has a lot of problems on its hands. But this is very clever, in a way, of the federal government. You collapse communities, and then communities become completely beholden to the federal government. Strategically select communities for their collapse. And then what happens? Very simple way of resolving it, which I'll also get to. But I digress because this, she must be a Democrat, right? Check this out. I don't know this woman, Judith Flanagan Kennedy. She must be a Democrat if she's a mayor of Lynn, Massachusetts. But the mayor of Lynn, Massachusetts said this is going to have a substantial effect on our budget. But this has been going on for some time, by the way, which the administration knew about and hasn't been addressing. I have information on that as well. She continued.
This school year alone saw over 600 new admissions, and among those, 248 were from Guatemala. Flanagan Kennedy says of those 248, 126 were illegal, undocumented minors.
They are not literate in any language, so they do need some skills. And so I assume they are enrolling in school to receive those skills.
Oh, she's a Republican. They are not literate in any language. Okay, that's disturbing. So 149 of 240-something, am I getting that right, are illegal? This is worse than I thought. And so they're putting more of these kids in these communities? What do you think is going to happen? Superintendent Catherine Latham. Again, you're not going to hear this in any other broadcast. Okay, this was on Fox Local in the Boston area. Okay, but you're not seeing these reports in most media outlets across the country. That's why we think it's very important that we bring you this.
The report by the National Review Online claims at least two illegal immigrant students in Lynn who claim to be minors are actually much older adults.
We have no proof that they are much older. So they will come to school. It's difficult, but we do attempt to verify age, but we are somewhat limited by the law.
The law, by the way, that she's referring to, the superintendent of Lynn, Massachusetts, is referring to, says that you cannot require documentation of age, proof of age, of these minors. So if someone presents to a school and says, "I'm 16," but honey, if you're 23, you got to be 23, 24. You still got to take the minor. This is what federal law requires. Again, diluting citizenship, diluting legal requirements, diluting all of it, which then hurts these local communities. Okay? If I'm a politician running in Massachusetts, this is an issue I am sticking on. I'm not letting this go because of what it's doing to these communities. Let's go to Larry, Cape Cod, Mass, line one. Well, do you hear John Kerry was out at Nantucket, Larry, on Friday night when the all this blank was hitting the fan in the foreign policy. Go ahead.
Yes, I understand that. There's two things, Laura. Number one, should have sold some carbonite to Lois Lerner, number one. Number two, let me talk about what's going on down here.
Yeah.
First of all, we got a plane load up in Hampton Field, north of Boston, which you know of, mm-hmm. which no politician in the state
even talking
knew of.
About.
So they say. Mm-hmm. The plane had already landed with some already illegals in Hampton Field. Now they're talking about bringing 1,000 down here to Cape Cod. Now you talk about ruining a city. Lynn was ruined.
Already ruined.
What are they trying to do? Don't forget, we have a lot of tourists here on the Cape.
Mm-hmm.
After the tourist season is gone, then we have to house these people here at the...
Where are you seeing this report? Julia, find out if you see anything on this. Where are you hearing this 1,000 in the Cape story?
Well, that's what they're talking about bringing down here. Each child, if I remember correctly, was at, what, $287 per day?
Yeah.
Now they're going to build a school. They want to build a school here on the base. They want to bring in doctors. They want to bring in nurses.
That's what you're talking about,
Right.
Yep.
Right. Where are they going to get these doctors? Where are they going to get these nurses? Why can't they take that money, the $3.7 billion that they're talking about, hiring more Texas Rangers, hiring more authority down on the borders to stop it?
Because they don't want to stop it. That's the obvious answer to you, Larry. I appreciate the call. I don't think that at some point that you have to conclude they don't want to stop the flow in. The flow in is an orchestrated flow into the country. They've known for years, and in addition to this disturbing report from Massachusetts, Breitbart is reporting that the Obama administration ignored the border crisis to win re-election and to push the amnesty bill. Remember, this was going on during the presidential campaign in 2012. Rick Perry... Again, this is where Rick Perry dropped the ball on this. Rick Perry, in 2011, was warning Obama about what was happening at the border. But did Rick Perry really incorporate that into his presidential bid? In fact, Rick Perry was for the DREAM Act. Rick Perry was not good, I believe, on foreign workers, bringing them into the country. Rick Perry has been very soft on these other issues stemming from the current immigration crisis. He's been kind of good in the rhetoric recently, and I appreciate that. But there's a lot Rick Perry could do right now as governor of Texas that he is not doing because the cost is high. And I think he's worried about the photo op. I think he's worried about the images, right, with the kids. And we can't worry about the kids. And He's been tough in one way, but another way, he could make this his entire story, is standing up for his state. The Latinos, the whites, the blacks in his state who need a government that works for them first. But he's really not doing that. I know you're going to hear other things other places. But Perry smartly warned Obama in 2011. But Raymond, I don't think he made this the cornerstone of his 2012 bid. In fact, it was Romney was tougher on immigration than Perry ever was. Dan Patrick from Texas, what do you have for us, my friend?
Yeah. Hi, Laura.
Hey.
Good to be with you. I wanted to let you know that I was down on the border Friday, and of course I've been on this issue for a very long time. I've made probably near a dozen trips to the border in the last several years. But there are reports today that Governor Perry is going to have a press conference in the next couple of hours and move towards calling out the National Guard from Texas. In other words,
good.
The president will not act, and so we have to act. I totally support that issue.
Excellent.
In fact, I did a poll on my Facebook page yesterday, and over 200,000 people weighed in overwhelmingly in support from Texas.
Woo!
And Laura, I was down on the border just recently as Friday, and some of the numbers that are always lost in this story is the number of criminals that are coming across
Thank
the border
you.
Mixed in.
Hey, Dan, can you hold that thought?
Children and families.
Dan, I know, because you're history and radio, I know you know this. We have to take a break. We're running really late. I need to hear everything you're saying. The president's also speaking about the Ukraine now. We are so loaded up. We'll get through it all. Breaking news from Texas. As I kind of call out Perry for not doing enough, Perry, see, when I speak, he acts. Dan Patrick, of course, is going to be the next lieutenant governor of the great state of Texas, is with us. We'll take a break. Be right back. New news out of Texas. That Rick Perry is going to be activating National Guard troops without help from the federal government. He's deciding to act to represent and protect his own state. Dan Patrick, I believe, will be the next lieutenant governor of the great state of Texas, is bringing us this news. Dan, when do we believe that these National Guard troops will be activated and in place?
Well, Laura, the press conference apparently will take place this afternoon, and the governor will fill everyone in on all the details. But apparently he has been in touch, and of course we've been in discussions about it, and I've totally supported the idea of Texas stepping forward. We shouldn't have to do it. This should be at the federal, this should be a federal issue, and they should be picking up the tab instead of Texas taxpayers. But Washington has not acted on securing the border. Harry Reid is just totally clueless when he says the border is secure. And so the governor apparently will make that announcement today. Let me give you some quick numbers, Laura, on the crime. And I ran my entire campaign focused on this issue and several other key issues in the state. But since 2008, and there are different years that will change the numbers, but from 2008, Laura, to 2012, we arrested and put in Texas jails in our 254 counties 143,000 criminals, hardened criminals, gang members, and other criminals that we identified as being in Texas illegally. We charged them with 447,000 crimes, Laura, a 500,000 crimes in 4 years just in Texas, including over 5,000 rapes and 2,000 murders. And we estimate on our threat assessment report that actually is a public report that many even in Texas don't read, but the media has looked over and just refused and ignored it. We estimate we have 100,000 gang members here illegally. So I was at the border in McAllen on Friday, up in the air, on the river, and I've been down there many times. And, Laura, when we seem to have been focused on this humanitarian crisis of the children, which it is, that are coming over. But every week, Laura, just 2 weeks ago, we apprehended almost 10,000 people crossing the border in 1 week, Laura.
What?
Nobody's
covering these numbers, Dan. Nobody is covering these numbers. In fact, the Dallas Morning News published a piece on Saturday saying the Obama administration says that far fewer children are arriving at the southwest border the first 2 weeks of July. That's the story in the Dallas Morning News.
Yeah. Well, there are the numbers for the children were down a little bit last week when I was there on Thursday night. They were down from a few nights before. But my point is, Laura, that every week, week after week, we've been averaging for the last year apprehending between 6,000 and 10,000 people a week. Now, we think we catch one out of every five. That means 25 or 30,000 are crossing the border, Laura, that we don't catch. So don't focus on the numbers that are apprehended. That's the ones we catch. But just in the numbers that we apprehend, Laura, if we apprehend 8,000 or 9,000 a week, that's more people than are born in Texas each week. So So, Laura, these numbers, and I'm happy to come back. I know you're up against the clock another time
we'll
to
hold
walk
you
through
over.
These numbers.
Yeah, we're going to hold you over
All right.
If you can. Dan Patrick's going to stay with us. He's really busy, so thank you for doing that. We're going to stay with him. We'll get to all your calls. Questions for Dan. The truth about what's happening at the border. He has just been there. He spends an enormous amount of time there in his quest to be the next lieutenant governor of Texas. Breaking news. National Guard, 1,000 going to the southwest border. That is news, my friends. Right. Texas didn't wait around for people to try to stand up for its own integrity, its own culture, its own people. And now 1,000 National Guard troops will be sent to the border by Rick Perry. And Dan, while we have you on the line, I want to play for you an exchange. And this happened on Fox News Sunday 8 days ago when I was on. Britt Hume was hosting, and he was pretty relentless in grilling Rick Perry on what these National Guard troops, even if they were there, what they'd actually do.
What exactly would National Guardsmen and women do on the border?
This flood of children is pulling away the Border Patrol from their normal duties of keeping bad people, keeping the drug cartels. They're being distracted. So that, I will suggest to you, is a very obvious reason that those National Guard troops could come play an important role.
And then Britt kept going. And he said, whoa, given this law that's on the books in 2008, what are you going to do?
They're not, under the law, allowed to apprehend any of these children that are crossing, are they?
Well, the issue is with being able to send that message, because it's the visual of it, I think, that is the most important, and we know that.
Well, I think what Perry might have added there, Dan Patrick, is that this 2008 law, yeah, I think it could be changed, and I have that in my 11-step plan, but it's really kind of a red herring because most kids that are coming across the border don't qualify for this trafficked status under this 2008 legislation. Am I not right in formulating it that way?
Yeah, well, you know, I'd have to see the data on each one, but I believe you are correct. And also, Laura, when this law was passed in 2008, we didn't have this great wave of young people coming across the border. This has all occurred since the DACA Act, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals that Obama had an executive order on in June of 2012. In 2012, Laura, we had about less than 10,000 of these UACs, unaccompanied alien children, come across into Texas. Last year, it was about 25,000. This year, we're up to it's probably 90 or 100,000 by the end of the year. We're over 60 now. Next year, they project 150,000. This isn't a result of President Bush signing the 2008 Act. It's a result of an executive order by Barack Obama that basically said, if you're young and you get here, you get amnesty. And that's been the issue. Going back to the criminal issue that we were talking about, look, most of the people who are coming to Texas are still trying to come in here for a job. They shouldn't come here illegally. We need for them to come in here with dignity, not in the back of an 18-wheeler, not sneaking across the border paying huge ransoms to the drug cartels. Young women and women who cross the border with the drug cartels very often gang raped or raped or sexually assaulted as part of the bounty. We are a Christian nation, Laura, and we should not have a policy where we have created an environment where the only way to come to America is to come here at the hands of the drug cartel in great danger. We picked up hundreds and hundreds of dead bodies on our side of the border where the drug cartels have just left them to die. Laura, this is a story that the American media refuses to be honest about. It's yes, we understand. Our heart goes out to some kids who come here. But when I was down the border Friday and I was at the detention center, you know, there were some young children, but for the most part, the young children were with a parent,
right,
or a mother or some adult. Most of the UACs were teenagers, and there is concern that in some of these numbers, we have gang members. Again, we have 100,000 estimated gang members in Texas here illegally, and most of those are teens. But if you look at in Parker County, which is west of Fort Worth, 2 weeks ago, if you saw the story, someone who has come, an adult, has come into this country four times, broke into a home and molested a 9-year-old girl, allegedly.
I saw that. But they didn't mention in the pieces that I saw, Dan Patrick, they did not mention the immigration status of that individual.
Four times.
Okay.
Four times.
Okay.
He was deported and back. That's how easy it is to get across the border. We had a case of a man who came over with some children in this current wave a few weeks ago. went to New Orleans. He was not the father of these children, and he allegedly killed a woman in New Orleans. We arrested him again on, I think it was June 23rd. These are real stories. This is real crime. Over 5,000 rapes and several thousand murders in 2 years in the hands of criminals. I'm concerned, Laura, about potential terrorists coming into this country. We have caught people from countries of interest in the Middle East crossing our border. And so once again, while the national media talks about, well, there were 2,000 children and their mothers or older brothers or sisters apprehended last week, it's as if that's the only people coming across the border. Another 5,000 or 6,000 are coming in while DPS, our state troopers, and Border Patrol are distracted. So you have thousands of people crossing the border, adults still. We're just apprehending more, but more still coming. And if you look at a number, you know, that's why every time I hear, Laura, that 11 million people in this country are here illegally, that's a joke. You know, we have a million people. If you look at the numbers, if 25 to 30 to 40,000 people are crossing the border every week that we don't catch, just do the math. Every year, year after year. In our Texas schools, we have 5.1 million students in our traditional public schools. Almost 8% are not proficient in English. I heard your story earlier about the problems, and I guess it was Massachusetts.
Yep.
I was talking to Border Patrol last week about the Hondurans coming across,
mm-mm.
and apparently Virginia has a big community of Hondurans,
huge.
And a lot of these unaccompanied children and teens are coming to Virginia, apparently.
Northern Virginia. They've already been dropped off, Dan. A lot of them have already been dropped off, let go on buses, and they're just wandering around the neighborhoods, apparently. That's the emails I'm getting today. Big black buses,
well,
unmarked.
Yeah, and it's true. And Laura, down in McAllen, which is a great city, Border Patrol, when they process these children and families out, they take them to the local bus station. There are no ICE agents there. There's no Border Patrol there,
mm-hmm.
no security, and they're on their own. And think about this, Laura. I've served on Health and Human Services for several years in the Texas Senate. And under our CPS, Child Protective Services, before we take a child and put him or her into foster care, we are very careful to the best of our ability to do a background check to make sure that child who's already coming out of a bad situation does not go into a worse situation. And from a humanitarian viewpoint of these children, and I'm focused on border security and law and order, but looking at these children, the federal government, the Obama administration, is sweeping human beings under the rug. Because they're putting them on these buses. They don't know where they're going. They don't know whose hands they're falling into. You know, how are they determining who these adults are that these children are going to? If you went down and put your precious children on an airplane, you know, the airlines wouldn't let you put them on an airplane unless they knew who was on the other end.
They're flying with documentation that is not legal for either you or I to fly with. I mean, the fact that people are allowed to be flying around and we're concerned about health concerns and TB and scabies, all these other issues. These people aren't being screened properly, and that's just one of the problems. And Dan, I got to ask you also about this because it's Texas and it's front and center. Do you agree with me that there is without a doubt an attempt to divert attention from this story? And I'm not saying that the other stories, which we've been covering extensively today, of Ukraine and Malaysia, aren't very important, and, of course, Gaza, the media coverage, if the people really knew what was going on and how this is affecting communities beyond just the snippets we can provide, if they really knew, this is blockbuster. This is game changer for the GOP and the pro-amnesty GOP. You know, I'm doing a big rally tomorrow in Nashville, Dan. And rallying against Lamar Alexander for his amnesty vote for Joe Carr, who is much more of a Dan Patrick type politician, as you can imagine. But I think there's an attempt to kind of, you know, just kind of push this into the side background as we focus on these other foreign policy issues, as you know, even though it's right in our home doorstep here.
Well, I think you're right, Laura. And you know, and look, we have a lot of people here in Texas who don't know these numbers, and that's why we did so well in the campaign. You know,
right.
We were, I don't want to say a long shot, but there were, you know, I was running against three statewide and the incumbent lieutenant governor, and we ended up with 2/3 of the vote. It's because I talked about this issue. Look, we are not anti-Hispanic. We're not anti-legal immigrant, but we are for law and order, and you cannot have a country that has an open border, and just anyone who wants to come here can come here. We must be in control of our border. And everyone in every state is at risk of a terrorist crossing the border, and all of these people who are coming
systems.
Into their communities fanning out.
School systems
and Laura,
collapsing.
The numbers, school system. And Laura, the numbers I gave you are not an exaggeration. These are real numbers that no one in the media talks about. I would say that even some congressmen from Texas don't even know these numbers. All they have to do is go to the Department of Public Safety threat assessment report from last year, and then get updated reports, and they'll see this is true. Again, we think, Laura, obviously you can't prove a negative, but if we're catching 8,000 to 10,000 people a week catching on the border, either they give up or we catch them.
How many get through? If they're catching 10,000 a week, which is more than the number of people born in the state of Texas every week, if we're catching 10,000 a week, how many is your best guess, given what you've seen down at the border, talk to Border Patrol, how many are getting through every week?
Well, law enforcement experts that I trust will tell you, some will tell you we get one out of every four, some will tell you we get one out of every 10.
So that's the, if that's the case, let's say, let's cut it in the middle. Let's say 50,000 are coming across legally every week. I mean, not legally, illegally every week that we're not catching. Dan, before we let you go, John Cornyn has his own plan to kind of deal with this. I have big problems with it, as do others. Breitbart has done a whole expose of what this Cornyn plan would do. I know he's a senator from your state. He's a nice guy, but I'm very concerned that this actually lowers the threshold for operational control at the border, bringing it from 100% to 90%, and then DHS just needs to write a letter to the administration saying you haven't met your 90% control. What's your take on this?
Well, I haven't seen the latest version of the plan, but I will say this, that any plan that Washington offers that does not focus on border security first is not a plan that most Texans would support. And secondly, Laura, before they issue a plan and pass a plan, they ought to understand all these numbers. Every senator, every Republican, every senator and congressman, Republican or Democrat, need to have the facts. And if we're going to have additional courts, which are great, we need additional attorneys.
Additional courts. These people should not be allowed in this country. They have to be stopped before they come in and turn back.
Well,
and we
I
have
agree.
To stop aid. And the courts, once they're in the courts, Dan, they're staying. A lot of these people are staying.
Well, Laura,
they're not
I'm
going
you.
Home. This is ridiculous.
I'm with you.
Cornyn's
with
more,
you. I'm
more
saying,
immigration
that's they,
courts. That's the last thing we need. We need people to be stopped before they get here with a quick deportation, except for extraordinary circumstances. If it's extraordinary, that's different. But the idea that we should set up these huge phalanx of courts and, oh my God, it's another DHS creation of a disaster. That is the last thing we need. I don't mean to pull you in on this. You're not running for Senate. You're running for Lieutenant Governor, so I don't need to burden you with that. But
I agree with you, Laura. I'm just saying that border security must be first. That's where the dollars
go.
They're not enforcing the border.
Yeah, they're not doing it. So if they're not doing
it
now, they're not going
to
do it in the future.
They need to do it right.
Yeah, Dan Patrick, we really appreciate you spending so much time. We thought we'd do a quick hit with Dan, and that's just too interesting and too important.